The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. In the Spirit. Chapter 9. The acceptable prayer is that which is in the Spirit. Having dispatched the first importance of this phrase, quote, praying in the Spirit, unquote, namely, the Spirit of the person that prayeth, we proceed to the second. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in or with the Spirit of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 20. In order to pray aright, it is necessary that we pray in or by the Spirit of God. Prayer is the creature's act, but the Spirit's gift. There is a concurrency, both of the Spirit and the soul of the Christian, to the performance of it. The Holy Spirit is said to pray in us, Romans 8:26, and we are said to pray in Him, Jude 20. By the first is meant His inspiration, whereby He excites and assists the creature to and in the work, by the latter the concurrency of the Spirit, saints' faculties. The Spirit does not so pray in the Christian as that he does not exercise his own faculties in the duty. In handling this, I shall observe three things. Section 1. I shall assert the truth of the point that to pray aright, it is necessary we pray by the Spirit of God, Ephesians 2:18. Through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Mark those words, quote, by one Spirit, unquote. As there is but one mediator to appear and pray for us in heaven, so by one Spirit that can pray in us and we by it on earth. We may as well venture to come to the Father through another mediator as pray by another Spirit than by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, our Savior, when He would show His dislike of His disciples' rash motion, He doth it by telling them, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Luke 9:55, as if He had said, it behooves you to be well acquainted with the Spirit's influences in prayer, if your prayers be not breathed in and out by my Holy Spirit, they are abominable to me, and my Father also. The name of Christ is not more necessary than the Spirit of Christ in prayer. Christ's name fits only the Spirit's mouth. It is too great a word for any to speak as he ought, that hath not the Spirit to help him. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 12:3. A man may say the words without any special work of the Spirit, and so may a parrot, but to say Christ is Lord, believing, with thoughts and affections, comporting with the greatness and sweetness thereof, requires the Spirit of God to be in his heart. Now, it is not the bare naming of Christ in prayer, and saying, for the Lord's sake, that procure our welcome with God, but saying it in faith, and none can do this without the Spirit. Christ is the door that opens into God's presence and lets the soul into his bosom, and faith is the key that unlocks the door, but the Spirit is he that makes this key and helps the Christian to turn it in prayer. In the law, it was a sin not only to offer strange incense, but also to bring strange fire, Leviticus 10:1, by the incense, which was a composition of sweet spices, appointed by God to be burned as a sweet perfume in his nostrils, was signified the merit and satisfaction of Christ, who being bruised by his Father's wrath, offered up himself a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The fire that was put to it which was also appointed to be taken from the altar, signify the Spirit of God, by which we are to offer up all our prayers and praises, even as Christ offered himself up by the eternal Spirit. To plead Christ's merits in prayer and not by the Spirit is to bring right incense but strange fire, and so our prayers are but smoke, offensive to his pure eyes, and not incense, a sweet savor to his nostrils. Section 2. What is it to pray by the Spirit of God? We must know there are two ways the Spirit of God helps persons in prayer. First, the Spirit of God helps in prayer by his gifts. Now, those gifts with which he furnishes a person for prayer are either extraordinary or ordinary. The extraordinary gifts of the Spirit in prayer were in primitive times shed forth, whereby the apostles and others were able in a miraculous manner to pray, as well as preach, on a sudden in a language that they never had learned. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians 14:15. That is, as interpreters understand it, he will make use of this extraordinary gift Christ had furnished him with, so as he might edify the church by it. This extraordinary gift was fitted for the infancy of the gospel church and ceased with it. The ordinary gift of Spirit in prayer is that special faculty whereby persons are enabled on a sudden to form the conceptions of their minds and desires of their hearts into apt words before the Lord in prayer. This is a common gift and bestowed very often on those who are none of the best of men. The hypocrite may have more of this gift than some sincere Christian. It is a gift that commonly bears proportion to natural endowments, a ready apprehension, fruitful fancy, voluble tongue, and audible of spirit, which are all gifts of the Spirit. Now we see that the head may be ripe and the heart rotten, and on the contrary, the heart sound and sincere, where the head is defective. Secondly, the Spirit helps in prayer by his grace. His gifts help to the outward expression, but his grace to the inward affection. By the gifts of the Spirit, a person is enabled to take the ear and affect the heart of those that hear him, but by the grace of God, influence and soul in prayer, he is enabled to move his own heart and the heart of God also. And this is the man that indeed prays in the Spirit. The other hath the gift, but this the Spirit of prayer. Now there is a twofold grace necessary to pray thus. First, there is necessary to this praying of the Spirit grace to sanctify the person. Before the creature is renewed and sanctified by the Holy Ghost, it can neither apprehend or desire things aright. The carnal mind perceives not the things of God, nay, it is enmity against God. And how is such a person fit to pray acceptably? First, then, the Spirit renews the creature by infusing those supernatural qualities or habits of his saving, sanctifying graces, which make him a new creature. By these, he comes to dwell and live in him, and then he exercises his own graces thus infused. The Spirit is in the body before it actuates and moves it. We read of living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. Walking supposeth life. To pray or perform any holy action in a holy manner is to walk in the Spirit, but we must live in the Spirit, or the Spirit in us, which is all one, before we can thus walk in the Spirit. There are some acts of the Spirit of God puts forth upon souls that are not thus sanctified, acts of common illumination, restraining grace, and assisting also. Thus, many hypocrites are enabled to pray in excellent expressions, but they never did assist a hypocrite or any unsanctified person to perform the inward part of prayer, to mourn sincerely for sin, to pant after Christ and his grace, or to cry, Abba, Father, Believingly, these are vital acts of the new creature and flow from the Spirit of grace infused into the soul, from which follows the spirit of supplication, Zechariah 12:10. Secondly, as habitual grace is required to sanctify the person, so actual grace to assist him as often as he prays. The Spirit of God may dwell in the soul by his habitual grace, yet deny actual assistance in a particular duty, and then the poor Christian is become as a ship at sea when no wind is stirring, for its grace cannot evidence itself, neither can it act itself. Hence it is that sometimes the saint's prayer speeds no better because he is not influenced by the Spirit in it. Samson, when his hair was cut, was weak like another man. The Spirit of God is a free agent. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalms 51:12. As a prince, when he pleases, he comes forth and shows himself to the soul. And when he pleases, retireth. What more free than the wind? Not the greatest king on earth can command it to rise at his pleasure. To this the Spirit of God is compared. John 3:8. He is not only free to breathe where he lists in this soul and not in that, but when he pleases also. End of chapter 9.